And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. The show is also available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show as well. Keeping up to date with local ongoings here across southeastern North Carolina, the state as a whole, and of course, the federal government. Well, good Wednesday morning to you, and as we sit here a little over midway through the month of February, we are talking about more winter weather that is expected to affect the Cape Fear region, really the state as a whole. Coming up a little bit later on throughout the day, as I was looking at the weather earlier this morning, there is already snow that has begun to fall in the westernmost portions of North Carolina. Looking at radar this morning, there is already some snow and sleet and freezing rain that is taking place in the western half of North Carolina. Here's live radar as we look at it this morning. The rain, the snow, the wintry mix will continue to make its way east throughout the day today, bringing snow to the western and northern half of our state as you head in towards the more southern areas near the Charlotte area. A wintry mix in our area. It's a question of a winter mix and ice. And here is the forecast as I saw it this morning over at WECT with Chief Meteorologist Gannon Medwick. A good little update from him.
5:11 on a Wednesday. It's great to have your company here in the First Alert Forecast Center, where our eyes are focused on a 32-degree line. Temps dip below 32. That encourages any moisture to freeze. The co-location of moisture and freezing temperatures will be better to our north. So conditions are going to be worse to our north. This is the same forecast you saw on WECT News at midday yesterday and some of the evening broadcasts. For most of us in the lower Cape Fear region, a low impact icing event with either trace amounts or a very light glaze. The pushback on that, I would kind of say in my own brain is, hey, you got a slick surface. Only takes a tiny little bit of ice to cause a problem. So walk and travel conservatively overnight and first thing tomorrow.
So that's the latest forecast from WECT's Chief Meteorologist Gannon Medwick as we keep track of this winter weather. As you saw on the map there, and for the audio listeners, the in New Hanover and Brunswick County, southern portions of Pender County, probably just going to be rain, maybe a little bit of ice. But as you head north in and around the Greensboro area, or Goldsboro area, in and around that area, Greenville is where some heavy icing is expected. However, ahead of that, we are learning some details about schools closings and operations. For everything is operating as normal today. However, we are learning that some schools will be operating on two-hour delays for your Thursday morning. Obviously, that will change and adjust based on what things look like throughout the day. So winter weather, something that we have dealt with a couple of times over the last few months, continuing here across southeastern North Carolina, the state as a whole. Well, I caught a very interesting post on X last night. A Wake County school board member, the member there, Lynn Edmonds, went on a rant yesterday at Trump and at their board meeting after parents called out the district's DEI policies. And you know, we've talked a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion over the last couple of weeks. There is, of course, now this major federal push to dismantle with what I believe is a very detrimental policy of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Or EDI, DEI, DIE, as it's known, depending on how you like to move the letters around. And with that, this pushback at the federal government is trickling down to local areas, to local municipalities. And we have seen this here in New Hanover County. We had Commissioner Dane Scalise back a couple of weeks ago. He joined us here on the show, but also made his comments very well known at the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting back a few weeks ago. His idea and what he said was very clear and concise. These departments, these policies are not creating any sort of economic vibrance. They are not creating any sort of better environment for the communities in which they are supposed to serve. And that's just the sad reality of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It sounds good on paper. It sounds like something that we'd be all in favor of, but as this stuff gets implemented and acted on, it's not creating diversity. It's not creating equity. It's not creating inclusion. It is pinning people against each other based on things like race and sexuality. We are teaching and trying to beat into the heads to an entire generation of individuals that you should look at somebody differently based on the color of their skin. The teaching of the oppressor versus the oppressed. This is the teachings of diversity, equity, and inclusion. These are very detrimental policies for our future. These do not create a prosperous city, county, state, country. They just don't. The Democrats have had years to message on diversity, equity, and inclusion, similar to the men and women sports thing we were talking about yesterday morning. They've had years to message on DEI, and they've, again, lost the message because it's not creating what its name says it's going to do. It's creating division, it's creating hate, and it's teaching very destructive things to young individuals. So this was the scene last night at the Wake County Board of Education meeting. This is Lynn Edmonds. You can listen to her rant, and we'll comment on it coming up after that.
I was struck by something that was said tonight during public comment that we, because of our woke agenda, or however it was described, are like putting vulnerable students at risk and federal funding at risk. And I thought, wow, that's rich. So who exactly is so threatened by the pillars and value of DEI, or so threatened by pronouns, that they would deny special needs students with the funding they need and deny children school meals? Own it.
So I just got to stop it right there. Own it. Own what part of dismantling DEI means or indicates that special needs students won't get the learning that they need in public schools? Which part of dismantling DEI means that we're not going to give children food at school? No school lunch anymore? This is an unbelievably broad attempt to take the very damaging and destructive policies of DEI and extrapolate them out into things that are completely unrelated. Oh, I didn't realize that students didn't have lunch at school. I didn't realize. Did you guys know? I have some news for you this morning. That prior to DEI, there was no food that was provided at school. There was no such thing as school lunch. School breakfast didn't exist. Prior to DEI, there was no place in education for special needs students. That's what she just said. If you get rid of DEI, these things go away. Yet they've existed well before this leftist ideology was prominent in the public school system. It is disingenuous, and it's frankly an emotional lie to try and do what the left does. Gin up support based on emotion. Not gin up support based on being right or having the better solution going forward. Gin up emotion based on fear-mongering, which is what Lynn Edmonds is doing here in Wake County.
Own that short-sightedness and own that cruelty. Lastly, to all those looking for ways to fight back, I'll just ask you to keep standing with us, stand up for the marginalized children, and stand up for kindness and truth and justice. The goal with all of these executive orders is to destroy democracy. The speed and reckless approach is a strategy meant to exhaust us and make us feel hopeless. So let's do the opposite of that. Let's show up here, show up in the streets, show up in the courts. And if you're in a position that you can give some money, I suggest Lambda Legal, who works to protect LGBTQ+ students and people, Democracy Forward and the ACLU, who are rapidly responding in the courts to these executive orders and to the Human Rights Campaign. There's many, many more, but those were the ones I chose to highlight tonight. Our kids and our schools are worth all we've got to give in this moment. Thank you.
Jesus. So Trump is leading the national push to get rid of DEI. And her solution is get out in the streets and donate money to left-wing charities. That's the solution? That's the path forward. This is a school board meeting. And she is encouraging individuals to give money to very far left activist groups to fight the current administration. I've said this a lot, and I'll continue to say it, but this ideology lost. Right? These ideas were on the ballot box, or on ballots and in the ballot box in November. Woke, DEI, these other policies were on the ballot. And the American people rejected those premises. The American people said, we're done with woke. We're done with DEI. We're done with these very hateful and destructive policies and ideologies that are being pushed forward by the left. Voters decided that. And the left can't seem to wrap their head around it. So they spend all of their time now, as we covered yesterday, yelling and screaming in, you know, various city centers across the country about Trump and Elon Musk and how evil and awful they are. They're taking their time at school board meetings to wildly exacerbate issues that don't exist, using traditional fear-mongering tactics and techniques to blow things out of proportion, to make false claims of things that will not exist anymore. You know, the threats to democracy and without DEI, special needs students don't get their education. It's not true. It's not based in any sort of fact. It's not based in any sort of reality. It's just an attempt to win over support and win over votes by using emotion. Because we do, in fact, want to take care of individuals in the public school system that have special needs. It is a very different educational landscape for those individuals. We want to be compassionate and caring for those folks, for those families, help them through the process. And I'm not sure how diversity, equity, and inclusion wraps into that. But if you can strike fear, because it sounds good, if you sit on the dais like Lynn Edmonds does up in Wake County, it sounds good to push your liberal agenda if you sit up on the dais and make these ridiculous claims and, of course, point the finger at the Republicans as the root cause of all of these problems. The DEI and the woke charade is over. You guys had a chance to convince people that it was the path forward for our country. You guys had the opportunity to do that. You had years of unfettered control and access to say, this is the way forward. This is our new North Star, DEI. It's what we need to follow in everything that we do. The American public did not buy into that. The American public was not supportive of that idea. Now, those ideas are not in favor. Those ideas do not and are not what the American people want to see. The charade is truly over for all of this. Woke and DEI are dead. And you're still going to have outfits and pockets of it that exist. I'm not going to pretend that somehow, you know, what's going on at the federal level has to necessarily expand to everything in society. You will still have plenty of private business that takes and uses these sort of dangerous practices and teachings. You'll have some level of government at the local level, especially in major blue Democrat strongholds like Raleigh and Wake County, like Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, where these things will continue to promulgate and continue to exist. But it's just not in favor. It's not something that people broadly support. So you can cry, you can complain, you can make up lies to try and strike fear into people about it, but it just doesn't work. It's not hitting with the American people. And so that's the example up in Wake County. And I've got an example locally this morning as well. At the Monday meeting of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting, where an individual who works for New Hanover County got up during public comment and teed off on Commissioner Dane Scalise about DEI. Take a listen to this.
My name is Tim McClung. I'm a resident of Wilmington. Full disclosure, I'm also an employee of the county, but I am speaking as a private citizen.
Before he continues, was he on the clock during this? He's an employee of New Hanover County. Was he being paid by the taxpayer when he gave these comments, when he gave this speech? Was he like, you know, on lunch or something like that? Did he take a request like an hour off of work, or did I pay for these comments that are about to come up? I'm not sure.
I'd like to take this time to denounce and refute the comments that were made by Commissioner Scalise during the January 21st commissioner meeting, specifically his assertion that our DEI department is not doing good work for the county, and his statements about DEI in general. I'm a 65-year-old white college graduate heterosexual. My wife and I have been in this county since mid-June 2016, and during that time, neither one of us have been categorized, stigmatized, harassed, bullied, disenfranchised, interrogated, followed, mocked, criticized, ostracized, unfairly treated, underrepresented, situationalized, redlined, deadlined, denied a loan, received inadequate health care, underlined, discriminated, dissed, excluded, banned, sexualized, demonized, threatened, humiliated, demeaned, disparaged, minimized, belittled, abased, degraded, deprecated, demoralized, intimidated, protested, sought refuge or sanctuary, or been denounced in a public meeting based on our gender, sexuality, race, age, religious beliefs, economic status, or health. Not everyone in our county can say the same thing. And until then, our DEI department has a job to do. I sat through the property tax discussion. I've looked at my property values. Thanks to the tools that the finance department's put up on your website, I know that in the upcoming property tax bill, my bill, $1.90 of that bill goes to support the DEI department, and I would like to prepay Allison that right now. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, sir. Throws $2 up on the podium there as he announces that his multiple properties that he's got must be nice. I don't have that luxury. The multiple properties that he's got in New Hanover County, $1.90 of that is to fund DEI. So he goes on this diatribe about all the things that he hasn't dealt with since he's lived in Wilmington and claims that, well, some people do. And so that's why we need the DEI office to continue. And my question is very simple with diversity, equity, and inclusion. The same way that we handle, or we should handle, anything else in government is the same way that we should handle DEI. It is an investment of taxpayer dollars that government makes, right? Because government doesn't have a way to generate revenue themselves. This is the overarching thread. Government generates revenue, well, I'll throw generates in quotes, but they generate revenue through taxes, whether it's property, income, use taxes, whatever it is. That's how they generate their money. Their largest source of that is property taxes, which we'll be talking about in the weeks to come, which are going to hopefully not, but could potentially skyrocket as we head into the next couple of years if Republicans, which I will know control the county commission, don't get on board with this. That's the only way they generate money. So they have a relatively finite amount of resources available. The money is not unlimited. They're not the Federal Reserve. New Hanover County does not have the ability to print money. There is no money tree next to the new government center, next to the strip club, for them to pull dollars off of. They might be able to go into the strip club and do that, but nevertheless, I digress. There's no way for them to generate income without taxes. So when they invest in something, a government department, a government entity, a government agency, a government program or project, there needs to be some ROI, return on investment. Now, not everything is going to have a great ROI in government. We know this. We can argue whether that's right or wrong, but the reality is not everything is going to have a great ROI. That's just, unfortunately, how government has set themselves up. As government has expanded, they've gotten into more and more, they've gotten their fingers in more and more pots that do not generate revenue and do not have any sort of investment return for the community as a whole, at large. So the question with DEI is a very simple one. This claim from this county employee that there's all of these woes and hardships going on in the county. He hasn't experienced them, but many do. And that's the reason we need to keep DEI. My question is this. Which of those issues have gone away, have recovered, and have been lessened by the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office? If you're going to claim we need this department, we need this governmental agency to do these tasks, then I would like to see, as a taxpayer that will fund this bill and pay for, in part, this department, what's the game plan? With metrics, action items, and some sort of timeline to accomplish these goals. That's it. If somebody can show me the timeline of all of the things that are going to be solved, all the societal woes that are going to be dealt with if we fund DEI, and you can show that to me, give me timelines, give me execution dates, give me deadlines and goals, then I'm okay, actually. If those things can be met, if these awful, horrific societal woes that are always described, if those things can be accomplished and dealt with, then you know what? I might be in favor of funding DEI. But here's the reality. It doesn't exist. There is no ROI on DEI. It's a farce. They don't provide any value to New Hanover County. Discrimination is not any better or worse in any municipality across the country due to a DEI department. None of the issues that the left is always yelling and screaming about are any better or worse because of DEI. It is a wasteful government program that has no metrics, no goals, and no way to track anything that it does. It is a black pit and black hole for money. You throw it in there, and that's it. And yeah, you're great. You get some posts on Facebook about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Phenomenal. Those posts cost New Hanover County taxpayers nearly $750,000 a year, because that's what the department's funded at. It's over $600,000 a year that goes into this department. Of the vast majority of that, not going to programs and services, but paying salaries and paying benefits to county employees to twiddle their thumbs and talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you said we were funding this group, this organization, at the tune of $600,000 and $500,000 of it or $400,000 of it was going to programs with metrics that we could track as taxpayers, that our local elected officials could track to determine the effectiveness of the program, I wouldn't have an issue. But you can't, because it doesn't exist. It has never existed. It will never exist, because there are no metrics. It's all a fairy tale. It's all made up. There is no reason for New Hanover County to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion department. They bring nothing to the table. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of high paid salaries. A lot of individuals making a lot of money in the county. That's not value. That's not making anybody's life any better in New Hanover County except for the person that's collecting that salary. It's as simple as that, folks. If you can justify your existence to the taxpayer, if you can justify your existence to the elected officials, then I'm all for it. We've seen what these policies have. We have track records in New Hanover County of what these things look like. Port City United is the epitome of diversity, equity, and inclusion. A county entity spun up to do one goal, one objective: reduce violence. And what was the end result? No reduction in violence. And in fact, county employees, individuals being paid by the taxpayer, actively participating in violent crimes. You had a county employee that was charged with accessory after the fact of attempted murder. You and I paid for that. We paid for the salary for the individual, and we paid for the freaking car that he drove to the scene of an attempted murder. And you're going to tell me that we need to keep these departments? That we need to keep these entities? You've got to be out of your freaking mind. There's no metrics. There's no justification. In the case of Port City United, the issue was worse. You had county employees being wrapped up in drug trafficking rings. Being nailed by police for selling drugs. While at the same time, of course, our community mission is to reduce violence and crime in our community. Meanwhile, here we've got a county employee driving a minor to Houston Moore to kill somebody. Yeah, sounds like a good use of my taxpayer dollars. Sounds like exactly what I want my government employees doing, taking place in attempted murders. That sounds very logical, doesn't it? That's not made up. That's not an attempt to fearmonger an issue into existence. That's what happened. And we saw what the end result was of Port City United. They were abolished as an entity. They were abolished as an organization. They were not providing value. They were not doing anything that was their stated goal, their stated agenda. It was an opportunity for a bunch of individuals to get rich off the government teat. You had the first director of it in Cedric Harris that wasn't even showing up to freaking work. He was collecting $100,000+ salary from New Hanover County and couldn't be bothered to show up to work, running a complete and total scam on the taxpayer. Not only was he making over $100,000 a year, but at the same time, then the county had to go and hire individuals to come in to coach him how to lead, wasting and pissing away more money to do that. The end result, he ended up being fired because he couldn't do his job. That was the end result. So those are the programs that Democrats are in favor of? Those are the programs that you and I need to fund in a rising property tax bill? That's the best use of my money in government? I mean what I say. If somebody can show me the plan, the actions, the accomplishments, the milestones, the goals of these organizations, these entities, and the actual impact that they're going to have, not a bunch of made-up crap that they can throw on an Excel spreadsheet or in a PowerPoint, but actual goals and metrics, I am all for having that discussion. I am all for looking at that and saying, okay, these are your stated goals, these are your stated objectives, run wild with it. Let's see if you can accomplish those. But that doesn't exist. That doesn't ever happen. It has never happened and it won't, because there's no way to track any metrics or goals on a made-up fake issue that Democrats have essentially held governments hostage with, held the industries hostage with, so a bunch of consultants can come in and make a whole bunch of money. It is a complete and total scam. It is a complete and total farce. And who pays for it? Government doesn't pay for it. You and I pay for it. You're out busting your ass at work 40 plus hours a week. You're paying for it. Democrats on the New Hanover County Board of Commission aren't paying for it. You and I are. And it should make you upset. It should make your blood boil, because there is no value. There is nothing that we get as a community, as residents, of citizens of New Hanover County. There's nothing, no metrics that we get from these entities and these agencies. The only people making anything out of it are the individuals getting rich off the government. It's over. I look forward to the budget session this year in New Hanover County. Commissioner Dane Scalise has made his point very clear that the funding for these programs need to go, that these agencies, these entities no longer have a use. And I hope he's able to convince his other Republican colleagues to come alongside him and get rid of these departments. Give that money back to the taxpayer. Put that money back in the general fund so it can be used for things that actually help our community. Like, oh, I don't know, things like public safety, maybe. Maybe we could reallocate some of those funds to that. I'll throw a link to all of this in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can subscribe and get access to the daily show notes, bonus content, and more, including our monthly live stream and hangout, which will be taking place next week, over on Zoom. So hopefully you'll join us for that at patreon.com/Nick Craig. On the other side, Donald Trump and Elon Musk in their first joint sit-down interview with Sean Hannity last night. I've got some clips coming up after this. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 via The Nick Craig Show podcast, wherever you get your shows. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Let me tell you a little bit about Ground News. It's a website that I use each and every day as I'm getting ready for the show, and even not getting ready for the show, just keeping up to date with events that are taking place in the United States and around the world, because it's almost impossible to consult a single website, a single source for the full story. That's why I use Ground News. Ground News is an app and website that combines news from around the world in one place so that you can compare coverage for every news source. You can see if they have a political bias, how reliable their reporting is, and who owns them. They've got a really cool feature that they call their blind spot that tells you and shows news that is disproportionately covered by one side of the political spectrum. Get news from thousands of sources worldwide in one place and verify your information. I use Ground News every day to prep for the show. Subscribe through my link to get 40% off your Vantage subscription. That's the one that I use, and you get unlimited access to every feature. Visit nickcraig.com/ground to learn more and save 40%. Your subscription not only helps the show, but it supports Ground News as they make the media landscape more transparent. Visit nickcraig.com/ground. Appreciate their support here of the Nick Craig Show. All right, so back to the news of the day. Last night, Sean Hannity had an exclusive interview with Elon Musk and Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. And it was the first time that these two individuals have sat down for an interview together. Now, we've seen the clips over the last couple of weeks of Elon being in the Oval Office when Trump is signing executive orders. And there's been a little bit of back and forth banter there between reporters and the media. But this was the first time that these two individuals were together in the same place in a sit-down interview that lasted the entire hour on Hannity last night. And one of the first things out of the bat was, you know, what is the relationship like between Trump and Elon Musk? How did this partnership that we've seen has been unbelievably effective in a very short amount of time, how did all of this come to start? How did any of this come to fruition? Here's Hannity last night.
I want people to know the relationship and know more about you. What is the relationship, Mr. President?
Well, I respect him. I've always respected him. I never knew that he was right on certain things, and I'm usually pretty good at this stuff. He did Starlink. He did things that were so advanced, and nobody knew what the hell they were. I can tell you, in North Carolina, they had no communication. They were wiped out. Those people were, you know, they had rivers in between land that never saw water. All of a sudden, yeah. It was a river and a vicious, like rapids. People were dying all over. They had no communication. They said, you know, Elon Musk, they didn't really know I knew him. I said, yeah. He said, could you get Starlink? It's like the first time I ever heard of it. I said, what's Starlink? A communication system that's unbelievable.
I have it.
Yeah. And he said, I called him and I said, listen, they really need it. And he got like thousands of units of this communication, and it saved a lot of lives. He got it immediately, and you can't get it. I mean, you have to wait a long time to get it. But he got it to him immediately, and I said, that's pretty amazing, and I didn't even know he had it. We watched the rocket ships, and we watched.
So before we get into more of this relationship, it cannot be understated the amount of relief that was provided in Western North Carolina from Elon Musk. You can love the guy, you can despise the guy. You go back to September of last year, when Hurricane Helene caused unbelievable amounts of damage in the western half of this state. Communication completely gone. Not like, oh, a tree knocked over a power line and your internet's out. There was no infrastructure left. There were no poles left. There was no cable left. It was all washed away in the storm. Cell phone towers, you know, decimated. Generators running out of fuel at cell phone towers. No way to get internet to those towers to then rebroadcast to people's cell phones. Elon Musk was able to get Starlink into that area, which of course uses low orbit satellite to gain internet access. And immediately you had individuals that had access to information, access to contact loved ones and tell them that they were alive, that they were safe. That cannot be understated. And it happened because Trump and Elon. The Biden administration wasn't doing anything. You had some private groups that rushed in some Starlink, but Elon Musk was able to get, I don't know if it was thousands, but it was hundreds of units deployed to Western North Carolina. You had these areas popping up in, you know, mall and strip center parking lots, free Wi-Fi hubs for individuals to get online and communicate with their families. It's a remarkable effort that took place. But of course, you know, he's never going to get any credit for that because now he's working with Trump. He's working with the Republican administration, and that, of course, makes him evil.
Tesla, I think, you know, something that had an effect on me was when I saw the rocket ship come back and get grabbed like you grab a beautiful little baby. You grab your baby. It just
hug the rocket.
I've never seen
right. Everything needs a hug, including rockets.
Yeah. No, but. And he said, you know, you can't really have a rocket program if you're going to dump $1 billion into the ocean every time you fly. You have to save it.
Right.
And he saved it. First time that I've ever seen that done. Now, nobody else can do it. If you look at the U.S., Russia, or China, they can't do it. And they won't be able to do it for a long time. He has the technology. So you learn. I wanted somebody really smart to work with me in terms of the country, a very important aspect, because I mean, he doesn't talk about it. He's actually a very good businessman. And when he talks about the executive orders, and this is probably true.
Before we get to the executive orders, just, again, showing the difference between how government does things and how private business does. You heard the comments there about essentially NASA with the rocket program, the booster program. They spent $1 billion building a booster to send something to outer space. And the government way of doing that was build the booster, shoot it up into space. It, of course, disconnects from the spacecraft and falls and plummets into the ocean. There is $1 billion literally set on fire, no pun intended. Private business doesn't have the ability to do that because the money's not unlimited. So what did Elon Musk do with SpaceX? Created a system where the boosters were first landing on little landing pads out in the middle of the ocean. And now you've got this system where it's being caught back by the tower in which the rocket was launched from in the first place. It's remarkable. And that's the difference between looking at something from a business mindset and looking at something from a government mindset. NASA was just pissing money away. Elon Musk said, we can't afford to do this in private business. We're going to change the way. And now SpaceX is the most influential space program anywhere in the world. All because he came at it from a different mind than government. Pretty remarkable. Now to the executive orders.
True for all presidents.
Yeah.
You write an executive order and you think it's done. You send it out. It doesn't get done. It doesn't get implemented. They don't implement it. They maybe they're from the last administration, and they are in some cases. You try and get them out as fast as you can. But I could. As soon as he said that, I said, you know, that's interesting. You write a beautiful executive and you sign it and you assume it's going to be done, but it's not. What he does is he takes it and with his 100 geniuses, he's got some very brilliant young people working for him that dress much worse than him, actually.
Yeah,
they dress in just T-shirts. You wouldn't know they have 180 IQ.
Wait. So what he's your tech support.
I literally am tech support, though. But
he gets it done. He's a leader.
Yeah.
He gets it done. You get a lot of tech people, and you have people, they're good with tech, but he gets it done. You know, I said in real estate, you had guys that would draw beautiful renderings of a building, and they'd draw the rendering, it would be great, and you'd say, great, when are you starting? But they were never able to get it built. They couldn't get the financing. They couldn't get the approvals. It would never get done. And then you have other guys that are able to get it done. You know, they could just get it done. I was in real estate. Same thing in this. He gets it done.
He gets it done. It's really as simple as that. He gets it done, which is something that, again, if we look at the whole of government, is not something that is very prominent. Government doesn't very often get things done. They talk about getting things done. They will mention ad nauseum about how they want to get something done. But when the rubber meets the road, when it comes to actually accomplishing the goal, actually implementing whatever is trying to be solved, government is very inefficient at doing that. And so Trump understands this. Talks about his time in real estate, a very competitive, rough business. And so he is surrounding himself with what we'll call doers, people that actually do. Now, talk is cheap. It's easy to say we're going to cut government waste. How many times have you heard that? If you've been following politics for any period of time, you've heard that same thing ad nauseum, constantly, from both sides. We're going to cut government waste. We're going to get things back under control. These people aren't doers. Trump knows how to get things done, and he has surrounded himself with people like Elon Musk that do the same thing. They know how to get things done. And again, it's the difference in mindset from private business to government bureaucracy. They are incompatible in terms of how they operate. They really are. Listening to the full interview last night, I don't think I have a clip for it. Trump talked about some of the waste. You have these contracts that get signed within the federal government, supposed to be a 3-month contract, but the person that initiated the contract on the side of the federal government leaves or retires or whatever, and the contract just goes on in perpetuity. Because nobody really knows about it. It's not a big enough money to big enough dollar to care about. So somebody ends up getting a check for a decade, checks every month for a decade from the federal government, something that was only supposed to last 3, 5, 6 months a year. That doesn't happen in private business. That doesn't happen in the private sector. But it can happen in government because the reality is there's no accountability. And there's no reason to be accountable. Who cares? There's always more free money to spend. So there's no reason to be fiscally responsible. There's no reason to be good stewards of the people's money. They don't care. There's this culture, there's this idea that this is how things are done. How many times have you heard during congressional hearings, well, Senator something or other, talking to the head of a department, why is this done this way? Well, Senator, that's the way that we've just always done it. It's a lame excuse. It's an inefficient excuse. We've done something wrong for a while now, and our justification is it's because how we do it? Go tell that to the private business owner that's losing money. One of my favorite shows, a little bit of a guilty pleasure, is Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. There's a new season on right now where he goes into various restaurants across the country. They submit themselves. Most of these places are dealing with major issues, and a lot of the time it's major financial struggles, unable to get people in the door. And so many times, the owner of the restaurant, the owner of the bar, whatever it is, will be asked, what's wrong? And they'll say, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Everything's chugging along. Yet there's nobody eating there. The food sucks. The business is hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And they believe that everything is fine because that's the way that we do it. That's the way we've always done. We've done this for 20 years and it worked for 20 years. Or we thought it worked for 20 years. Now we're facing bankruptcy and nobody wants to eat at our restaurant. See, when that happens in private business, what happens? The restaurant has to close eventually. If they don't course correct, if they don't fix their issues, if they don't adapt, they have to close because they don't have unlimited money. Federal government can just say ad nauseum, well, we do it this way. This is just how we operate. It's a lame excuse. And it's great to have business people in the government now that are saying, yeah, that's a lame excuse. We're not just going to go along because that's the way we've done things. The way we've done things has gotten us almost $37 trillion in debt. And I think I'm going to say I'm not an economist, but I'm going to make the point that I don't think that's sustainable long term. I know, wild idea, but I don't think that's sustainable. Now, as we've talked about in the past, Elon Musk, of course, was the darling of the left. Tesla, Solar City, SpaceX, Neuralink, his underground high-speed rail system thing, the boring company that's out in California. The left loved this guy. Teslas were unbelievable technology. I mean, really spearheaded the electric vehicle revolution that we've seen in our country with really cool technology, with amazing feats that were accomplished from a technological standpoint. I'm not a fan of electric vehicles. They're not practical for the way in which I live my life. But I've always said there will come a time, and I stand by this, when the technology is cheap enough, when lithium-ion battery technology, as it continues to advance, where those cars will come down in price, the range, the mileage of those vehicles will be double or triple what they are right now, and it will make sense for somebody like me and most of Americans to own an electric vehicle. And when that time comes, I will make a free market decision to decide what kind of car I'd like to buy. This guy was the darling of the left with his technology. Amazing technological innovations. He decides that he's going to back and get behind Trump. Before that, of course, his purchase of Twitter, now X. And now they hate him. He's an authoritarian. He's an unelected president. How many times have you heard that over the last couple weeks? We didn't elect Elon Musk. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. You didn't elect anybody besides the president and vice president. Everybody that works with them is their choice. We don't elect cabinet positions either. You don't elect every single person that works within the administration. There's two names on the ballot, president and vice president. Yes, we know you didn't elect Elon Musk. Thank you. He wasn't born in the United States. He's ineligible to be the president. We understand. Thank you for the civics lesson. So Elon talked a little bit about this, how he went to some big Democrat donor event after he had gotten more politically involved and announced that he was going to be supporting Trump. And this was the reaction. Take a listen to this.
Yeah. And it's like that become completely irrational.
He has no idea. If you're friends with him,
yeah,
you pay a price. You know, it's I walk in a restaurant in New York and it's like half the room, it's daggers and they want to.
No, the eye daggers level is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like, I had like some invitation because, so I got invited to like, so basically a big sort of damn event, like, that was, but I received the invitation like the beginning of last year. And then, and I still attended even after I'd endorsed President Trump. And I didn't realize how profoundly that would affect, how I was received. I mean, I walk into the room and I'm getting just the dirty looks from everyone. Like, if looks could kill, I would have been dead several times over.
But that was not before Before Trump, that never happened, right?
It's crazy. But that's what goes on. Joe Rogan's another great example of this. A guy that had an unbelievably popular podcast, was a little bit political, absolutely. All of a sudden, he started getting a little bit more politically involved. He, by the way, invited both Republican and Democrat candidates on his show. He's done interviews with John Fetterman. He invited the former Vice President Kamala Harris. She, of course, there's not a chance in hell she could have spoken for 3 hours, so she declined. And so he, of course, gets a little bit more political, has Trump on, and now he's the enemy. Joe Rogan is now alt-right. He is right-wing extremism media now. Because he endorsed Trump, thought Trump had better ideas. Even though he gave a platform to both parties, now Joe Rogan is a right-wing extremist. It's insane how the left operates. As soon as you say anything counter to their wacko, crazy, insane ideology, you are public enemy number one. They do it over and over and over again. It's absolute insanity. But this is how they operate. And it's why so many people, these high-profile individuals, Elon Musk, one of the most prominent businessmen of our time, Joe Rogan, who I will argue is the most influential media figure that currently exists in our society, those two individuals have been demonized so much by the left And this is what I don't think the Democrats understand. They push these people away. They run their own people off. Joe Rogan is not a conservative. Listen to his podcast. I listen to most of his episodes. He's not an ideological conservative. He does not believe in the vast majority of the conservative platform, or the Republican platform, I should say. He doesn't believe in all of that stuff. Yet Democrats will claim he's a right-winger. He's a right-wing extremist. Because you break with the Democrats on anything, and you're immediately labeled a fascist, an authoritarian, a Nazi, a this, a that. It's nauseating. And what's the end result? They end up disenfranchising people that probably agree more with them than the right. But because of their hatred, because of their vitriol, because of the way in which they operate in the public sphere, they push people to the right. And I don't know if they realize that they're doing this or if it's just something inherently that they do. But they radicalize more people to the Republican side of the aisle than anybody else. Because of their hatred, because of their vitriol, and because of their nonsense. Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, these guys are not ideological conservatives. They've been pushed to the right by the left. So bravo, guys. Pat yourself on the back. Now, of course, the big reason that Elon Musk is public enemy number one is Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. He has opened up the hood on the federal government and has started digging into what is actually going on. We talked about $4 trillion worth of payments yesterday out of the Treasury Department that have no ledger, that have no indication what budget that money is coming from or essentially where it's going. It's just being funneled through the Treasury payment system. What any of it's doing, we have no idea. So he is digging under the hood. He is looking for fraud, waste, and abuse. And that is really the reason that Democrats are coming after him, because they've gotten rich taking you and I, the taxpayer, for a ride on all of their fun government programs. This is Elon Musk talking about that.
And, you know, people like it's funny how often when these attacks occur, the thing that they're accusing the administration of is what they are guilty of. They're saying that things are being done unconstitutional, but what they are doing is unconstitutional. They are guilty of the crime of which they accuse us.
That's always the first thing they do. Yeah. He's in violation of the Constitution. They don't even know what they're talking about. Well,
it's
they
absurd.
Know. It's just a con job. It's a big con job. And they're so bad for the country. It's so dangerous and so bad. And the media is so bad. When I watch MSNBC, which I don't watch much, but you have to watch The Enemy on occasion, the level of arrogance and cheating, and they're just horrible people. These
they
are
lie.
Horrible people.
They tell conspiracy
liars.
Theories.
And
they're horrible, awful people, and they lie. That's pretty accurate. Not much more to add to that. But because Elon Musk is trying to correct the wrongs of the past, which, in fact, it is wrong to take the taxpayers for a ride, to commit the amount of fraud, waste, and abuse that has existed within our federal bureaucracy for decades now, because he is shining a light on this, that's, of course, the cardinal sin that he is, of course, committed. They want nothing to do with that. The funding of their NGOs, their groups that they get their kickbacks from, all of that is being exposed, and a lot of that was happening through USAID. Now, you look at the name. Oh, well, USAID, it provides aid. No. It provides a bunch of free money for Democrats and their friends at the expense of you and I, the taxpayer. And there was some discussion about that waste, about that fraud, and about that abuse last night on Hannity. Take a listen to this.
Well, the overall goal is to try to get $1 trillion out of the deficit, and if the deficit is not brought under control, America will go bankrupt. This is a very important thing for people to understand. A country is no different from an individual in that if an individual overspends, an individual can go bankrupt, and so can a country. And the massive waste, fraud, and abuse that has been going on, which is leading to a $2 trillion a year deficit. That's what the president was handed on Jan 20th. A $2 trillion deficit. It's insane.
For this fiscal year.
Two, yeah, we inherited. Yeah. And inflation is back. I'm only here for 2.5 weeks.
That was January.
Inflation
there
is back.
For a week.
No, think of it. Inflation's back. And they said, oh, Trump inflation. I had nothing to do with it. These people have run the country. They spent money like nobody's ever spent.
Yeah, and he's right. And unfortunately, it's a bipartisan issue. That's really the issue with all of this. It's bipartisan. Republicans and Democrats claim, and Republicans more than anybody else, claim they care about government spending, claim they care about debt, claim they care about federal spending. Yet they continue to pass continuing resolutions, omnibus spending bills, you know, ridiculous nonsense like the green, you know, these Green New Deal scams, the aptly named Inflation Reduction Act. None of it reduces inflation. None of it helps the American people. None of it gets anything under control. Yet they do this over and over again. And it's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The result is very clear. And it's an unfortunate result. We have a $2 trillion a year worth of deficit spending. And I appreciate what Elon Musk said. You know, the government is no different than an individual. And while I inherently agree with him, I can't say I fully agree with him. Because unlike regular people, we can't just make up money. We can't just print money when we want to spend more. We either need to go out and get another job to make up the difference, or we need to borrow money and spend it that way. We need to rack up consumer debt, whether it's credit cards or personal loans. We don't have the ability to just print more ad nauseum. There's a relative limit that you can spend. You can max out all of your credit cards. You can go and get as many personal loans as you want. There becomes a point where you cannot borrow any more money. And the next thing you know, you're in a complete and total financial hole in which you can't even begin to dig out of. Federal government just doesn't have that same mindset. It's systematic within the bureaucracy. Spend, 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 spend. There's never any cutting. There's never any reduction. It's just ad nauseum spending and hiring and justification for why we need to do these things. We need 8 people to accomplish the goal and the task that private business does with 1 person. Why? Because we're government. And that's the way that we've done things. It's always the justification from the left. It's always the justification from these big government bureaucrats. That's how we've done it. Really, you need 15 people to go onto a website and click a box once a week? Well, yeah, you know, if 14 of them are out, we need at least 1 guy that's able to do it. It's absurd. And you can tell it's having an impact. I saw this yesterday. This is over at Breitbart. Top Social Security Administration official steps down after a conflict with DOGE. Why would there be a conflict with DOGE? What's the issue here? I don't know. Let's read into it. Michelle King, who was the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration, stepped down and then was replaced by Leland Dudick, who will serve in King's former role until President Donald Trump's picks to lead the agency. According to ABC News, the conflict involved DOGE employees attempting to access what the outlet described as, quote, an internal data system which includes sensitive personal information of Americans. Huh. So it's exactly what we thought it was. There's issues within Social Security, people over the age of 300 years old getting Social Security checks. Hundreds of thousands of individuals over 120 years old that are getting Social Security checks, according to this system. Elon Musk goes, what the hell is this? How can you have people over the age of 300 years old collecting checks? And now you've got the top official saying, yeah, it's probably my time to leave. Which, by the way, I'm okay with. Because as I've said in the past, we're in charge now. You're not anymore. We're in charge. And so you have 2 options if you're within the federal government. You can either come alongside us and work towards the same goal, or you can get the hell out. Those are your two options. And I have a lot of respect for Michelle King in leaving her position. She has a conflict with Doge. It's not what she agrees with. She's leaving. I'm okay with that. I appreciate her service. Instead of trying to actively fight against the new administration, she says, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm out. I think that's great. And I hope more bureaucrats within the federal government take the same approach. If you don't agree with the Trump administration, if you don't agree with what's being done with Doge, and you're an agency head or you're high up in one of these departments, you don't agree with it, you don't like it, then leave. It's a very simple solution. Take that 8-month government payout that they've offered and get the hell out. No reason for you to be involved. All because somebody is starting to dig into the bureaucracy. All because somebody is starting to look at a very simple things. I mean, I'm going to pull up this chart. I don't have it right in front of me, so you have to give me a second to pull it up. But this Social Security chart with these ages on it is insane. This chart that shows all of these individuals' ages is nuts. You've got people over 300 years old that are getting checks. Here's the chart from Elon Musk. And the numbers are absolutely astonishing. Between 100 and 109 years old, which there are plenty of people over 100 years old, 4.7 million people. Between 110 and 119, 3.6 million people. I can promise you there are not 3.6 million people over the age of 110 years old in our country. And look at how it goes on. But you're telling me there's 3.5 million people that are 149 years old? And then, of course, the absurdity all the way at the bottom. 866 people collecting Social Security checks that are 219 years old. Now, is some of this system error? Is some of this just data clerical errors? Yes, it absolutely is. I don't believe that there are these amount of checks going out. There's not 10 million individuals that are collecting these Social Security checks. But the question is very simple. If you have these data issues within the Social Security Administration, Michelle King, who is leading, if there are individuals in your system, over 10 million of them that are over 100 years old, don't you think at some point you would maybe look into that? And again, if it's a lot of clerical issues and wrong dates, people's dates automatically defaulted to the year 1900 or whatever. We see that here in North Carolina with voting records. That's fine if it's a data issue. But go in and correct it. This idea that this is allowed to fester and sit and everything is all hunky-dory over at Social Security, even though the program's going to be bankrupt within a decade. The idea that this is acceptable, that this is how our government operates, is absurd. This is not a very complicated thing for people to understand. There is not 448 people between the age of 190 and 199 years old in the United States. That person, there's not one of them. There's zero of them. Yet Social Security is paying out 448 of them every single month. That's insane. That should have been corrected and dealt with in the past. But again, there's no incentive for accountability within the federal government. There's no incentive to cut fraud, waste, and abuse because that's the way that we've done things. It's absurd. It's insane. And the reign is over. The attempt to operate like this, government just chugging along as usual, no care in the world, that's over. It's completely done. And I'm glad. And you talk about having transformative, generational change to the federal government. That is what Donald Trump is looking down on for the next 4 years. That could be the legacy that he leaves behind. Transformational change to the federal government. Things that have never been seen or done before. Course correcting the fraud, the waste, the abuse that has led us to the position that we're in right now. I really hope that this relationship between Trump and Elon Musk stays strong. I hope Elon stays committed to digging into this. And I hope that we can get to a period of time where we get to an efficient, useful government for the people. His goal, he says, is to cut $1 trillion from the deficit. It's a very, very high mountain for him to climb. And I hope he's successful in doing it. Because the end result will be success and prosper for you and me, for the American people. I'll have links to all of those clips in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you are enjoying the show and believe that you're getting some value out of it, I encourage you to head on over to the Patreon account. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. A couple of different tiers set up, $5, $10 a month. You can also set a custom amount. You can support the show financially and get access to that some of that bonus content, including those daily show notes. Well, again, expecting some wintry weather across the Cape Fear region today. We'll keep an eye on that and have all the latest coming up for you tomorrow morning as the Nick Craig Show streams live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 via podcast. Have a great Tuesday. We're back with you tomorrow, or Wednesday. Have a great morning. We're back with you tomorrow.